What's up, Atlanta? It's a Tuesday with Turtle. Orin and I will put up 1.5 fingers as we are here for the next 90 minutes leading into, this is an important game for the Hawks tonight. They need to steady the ship and get this thing back to 500. We know no Trae Young. We'll get more into that tomorrow when I have a full show. There's just too much going on with the football and the baseball, which just came down a couple of minutes ago. Got some breaking news to share with you exclusively right here on your home for Atlanta sports, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, duh. And the Hawks are just trying to stay afloat, and that's what they're going to have to do. All those new shiny toys that they got in the offseason, everybody's going to have to step up with their superstar sideline for at least the next couple of weeks. We'll get to the Falcons in just a second. The trade deadline has cometh and went. Nothing. I'm not going to lie. I'm not surprised. With the draft pick situation that they have for next season, using their first-round pick for next year, being down another pick in the later rounds, I'm not surprised they couldn't really get much done. Could they have used some reinforcements? I would say yes. Offensive line, they did sign a veteran offensive lineman that was on their practice squad in the summertime and actually played in the preseason a little bit. So hopefully that doesn't mean bad news for Chris Lindstrom or Matt Bergeron, who both got banged up versus New England. And, they just got to sort of battle through this attrition right now with the injuries situation. And the lack of production at wide receiver has been alarming outside of Drake London. Couldn't do anything there. There were guys that were moved. The Jets certainly had a fire sale, as Mike Bell would say, fire sale it, fire sale it. Quinnen Williams, their Pro Bowl defensive tackle, and Sauce Gardner, their all-world corner, are gone. Ironically enough, Orin, who does Sauce get traded to? The Colts, who were facing in Germany on Sunday. So Drake London's day just got a little bit harder with having a top five corner in the league, having to guard him on Sunday. So that's fun. But the Falcons did make a couple of moves today. I mentioned the offensive lineman. And then they signed a kicker. Good old Zane Gonzalez. I feel like he's been around for a while. He's been banged up in a couple of different situations. Carolina, Washington. Could he be worse than Parker Romo? I mean, I guess I shouldn't even put that out into the ether, but Parker Romo was waived, so he will not be with the Atlanta Falcons anymore. They will be turning their attention to vet Zane Gonzalez, hopefully can steady the kicking situation. And then we get to the Atlanta Braves. And Braves fans, let's have a check-in, shall we? It's been a while. Been a while, Braves country, since you and I talked. Been all over the Falcons this football season, rightfully so. Georgia Tech. We'll get into college football tomorrow as well. Again, when I have the full four with you, we'll get into Hawks tomorrow. So we'll really expand the conversation. But coming off the heels of the Walt Weiss press conference today, as well as some breaking news about the Atlanta Braves that we just got from GM Alex Anthopoulos. I'll let you hear the clip in just a second right here on 92.9 The Game. Braves country, let's have a chat, you and I. We did the Atlanta baseball postgame show all season long. That was a great time talking to all y'all. But how do you feel about this team right now? How do you feel about the Braves today naming Walt Weiss their manager and saying that they're going to pick up the option on Ozzie Albies? Hey, Song King, Kim, also, if you missed it, he did not pick up his option. So he's a free agent. So he's going to test the market. He played really well here in Atlanta. And I guess he felt like his time here sort of resolidified his market on the situation involving his worth. Good for him, but would have been nice to see him back in a Braves uniform. I mean, he could be, for sure. But as they say, the price tag has just gone up, sir. But the big news of the day is that one of the fan favorites, despite some injuries and dealing with some ineffective play over the last couple of years, let's fire up the clip. Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos is confirming that Ozzie Albies will be back at least for one more year.
I think you have a couple of days to decide on whether you want to pick up the club option on Ozzie. This has also been a big question. How do you view that situation? I think I want to say it's $7 million. I don't have it right in front of me. I think it's a $7 million club option.
Here's what I got for you. So I think we have four club options.
Okay.
So if I say you only get to ask about one guy.
Okay.
And then you asked about Ozzie, but I can't. You can't follow up and ask about anybody else. Fair. I'll give you the answer.
All right. Fair enough. Go ahead.
So we're going to exercise on Ozzie.
You are.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. There it is.
So, and I just because it's, you know, we're in the habit of just waiting and so on. But look, Ozzie's a core guy. He's probably one of my favorite Braves as a human being, and he's aware of that too, and. You know, he's a core guy. And I know he was inconsistent last year and he got off to a real slow start, him and Harris did. But second half of the year, he was back to himself, July, August, September. So, I think, again, he set the bar so high because of All-Stars, Silver Sluggers, things like that. So when he scuffles, and look, him and Harris at the All-Star break, I think we're top 10 lowest OPS in the game, which is those guys are so talented. I would have never thought in a million years they could even be in that conversation, but they both did turn it around the second half of the year. Now, the goal and the trick is going to be how do we get these guys to get it back together for 6 months? And Ozzie's done that for a while. And I talked to him a little bit about it in the offseason. I think going through this, like anything, you learn from it. But I'm excited to have him. And, he's a core guy. He's one of the leaders on this team. And we're really fortunate as an organization to have him be a part of this place.
Well, very kind words there from the GM. There was a lot of nights during the Braves season where you and I were quite frustrated at the performance of Ozzie Albies.
He was never consistent.
He was just wildly inconsistent. That's generous, to be completely honest. He's a guy that's the rare power-hitting, slick-fielding second baseman, and he did neither of those things last season. And it's sort of been a little bit of a decline. And a lot of it's not his fault. He keeps getting banged up in the weirdest ways, like hand injuries and ankle injuries and knee injuries and the like. And that's the type of player that he is. He goes all out, and we love him for it. But we'll see. At least one more year of Ozzie. We'll see what happens at shortstop. So a lot of questions still, obviously, with the rotation and the back end of the bullpen and, of course, the new manager. Walt Weiss had his press conference today. I listened to the whole thing. I'll let you hear some audio coming up a little later in the show. I thought he sounded assured of himself. I thought he sounded like he had a plan, like he was very aware of what some of the questions might be, so good on him. He sounded like he was ready to answer the questions about being a in-house hire, about using analytics, about he actually said, if you don't adapt to the modern game and use analytics, his quote was, "You're a fool." So that goes to show you where he's at. He's a gut manager that will obviously adapt to modern baseball and use analytics in his favor. So I got a two-parter for you here. Braves fans, 404-726-0929. How do you feel about Walt Weiss and the situation in Braves country right now? Where's your confidence level with that hire that this team's going to be back to a true playoff contender next year? And then Falcons fans want to talk to you as well at 404-726-0929. How are you feeling after the trade deadline? This is your squad rolling forward. Can they go into Germany and get this thing done? Or because they didn't make a move today, are you even more pessimistic about the state of this season? So Braves fans, Falcons fans, getting you both in the mix today because there's so much news going on with both teams. Going to take your calls next. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle, I'm just getting started with you here on a Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, taking you up until 7:30. Hawks pregame. You know why it's a 7:30 pregame? Get a little round ball rock. They're on NBC. That's right, with an 8 o'clock tip right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Before we jump on the phones on Chris Thomas Tonight Turtle with you until 7:30, Hawks coverage begins then. Want to remind you to join the morning shift every Friday for the tailgate at home. It's presented by Publix. Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. That's tailgate at home, presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves fans, Falcons fans, got a question for each of y'all. You can choose either or both to participate in the conversation tonight. Braves fans, Walt Weiss was introduced, spoke today. Ozzie Albies back, according to AA, exclusively here on the station. How you feeling right now about the state of the team? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you disappointed? How do you feel about where the Braves are at right now that they named their manager and said one of the biggest question marks of the season has been answered? And then Falcons fans, all quiet on the Western Front today in terms of trades. They did bring in a new kicker, Zane Gonzalez. They brought in some backup offensive line help, but they did not make a trade for a linebacker or a wide receiver or defensive line depth or offensive line depth or any of the other positions where they can certainly use some help. So taking your calls on both the Falcons and the Braves tonight at 404-726-0929. Let's start with Scott. Leads us off tonight. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, how you doing?
What's up, Scott?
Hey, I wanted to talk about the Falcons. I went into this Patriots game knowing that, you know, they had a very small chance of winning. We didn't match up well. I was a little shocked that the second half, you know, kind of turned it around a little bit, but then typical Falcons, they missed the field goal. Going into this game, this Jets game, I'm sorry, the Colts game, I am more pessimistic than ever because I think that the Falcons' playoff chances are on life support at this point. If you take a look at this game and then when we even play the Panthers the following week, I mean, they've got two stud running backs. They're going to face Jonathan Taylor, who might be actually better than Bijan. He's having a heck of a season. Then the Panthers, out of nowhere, Rico Dowdle looks like, I mean, he's doing his best Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders impression right now. So those games, I mean, they look tough. Then if you just go down the list, we play the Seahawks, the Bucks, and the Cardinals, who look better with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback than they did with Kyler Murray. And then we play the Rams. I mean, we're potentially looking at a 10 or 11 loss season. And I think that, you know, I as a diehard Falcons fan, I'm concerned. Maybe they'll steal one or two here, but the outlook is horrible. Drake London is playing out of his mind. But my biggest fear right now, maybe you can add on this, is the teams have figured out, you know, Bijan Robinson and what we want to do with him. He hasn't had near as much of an impact the last couple games. And if he doesn't go, we don't go, apparently. We can't rely on Drake London to have a Herculean game every single week to pick up the slack. So what are we going to do with Bijan this week against a really good team? Is Zach Robinson going to figure it out? I mean, there's so many questions that have to be answered. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott, appreciate you checking in as always. It's a great point. Running game has been offline for three consecutive weeks. And to Scott's point, Drake London had a Hall of Fame game on Sunday. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's not just that he had three touchdowns. It's that he was making, as Scott said, a good word, Herculean catches and a Herculean effort to bring in some of those balls. Bijan Robinson, ironically, too. He did get 20 touches, and that's the most frustrating part, right, Scott? And then it just didn't work again for Tyler Allgeier. There's a pattern here, though. Are we noticing a pattern here, folks? When the running game's offline, the Falcons lose. When the running game's online, the Falcons win. So how do we get the running game back online? Well, that gets made even more difficult if there's going to be another starting offensive lineman out. I'll tell you that. And the Colts have a good defense. That's on Zach Robinson. Oren, what do we keep bringing it back to over and over and over and over again? Coaching. Coaching. You have to have good coaching. And I thought Zach Robinson in the second half made some nice adjustments. But at the end of the day, what do the Falcons do? Find new and inventive ways to lose games, this time by not getting yourself a chance to tie it with an extra freaking point. Demetrius is up next. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, Ter. I'm not surprised that we didn't make any moves. We have no collateral to make any moves. Bottom line to it, man, we're just in a situation right now where we're going to go through the season, probably going to give up a top five pick for Pierce. But I'm cool with that, and it's just the fact that Raheem is back. Bravo, bravo. Enjoy your trip to Berlin because you won't be with us next year. Terry Fondo, this might be – you might find yourself on the outs with a top five pick giving it away, and we roll the dice on Pierce. Because coming into the season, I think we're going to be a playoff team. And where we're not, we're looking up to the Carolina Panthers and the Bucks, unfortunately. And the Carolina's actually coming around. But you're going to get off line, man. And I hate to say it, man, the Trey Young era in Atlanta is coming to an end. We just have to see what our Hawks going to do. And I'm down with the Braves to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. I think the Hawks, let's pump the brakes. It's, you know, it's only a couple games into the season. Let's see. They can get back to 500 tonight. There's still enough talent. There's no excuses for the Hawks still. Don't get me wrong. There's enough talent on this team that they should still win games. I'm not saying they should win as many games over the next month if Trae Young was in the game, but they're still, they shouldn't be absolutely getting tanked at this point in the season without Trae. They just need to hold water, be around 500 until he gets back. Braves, listen, I like the hire. I like Walt Weiss. I think he's going to be a good manager. Again, my only concern, I put out a video online last night. You can find it on my Twitter page at C Thomas Radio. Could they have gone outside the box? Yes, they could have. Should they have gone outside the box? That's where I'm on the fence. Because, we got to be brutally honest here. Walt Weiss was a part of a coaching staff last year that seemed lethargic at times. I'm going to be very brutally honest here and say unaware at times. Certainly Snit got himself in hot water a couple of times last season with Verdugo, not knowing where he was, with Kelnick and Acuna. There was a lot of gaffes on a day-to-day basis. It was not a strong year for anybody on the Braves coaching staff. So while I think Walt Weiss is a savvy vet who's done it all, played, coached, managed, has a World Series ring or two, does this organization – I was listening all day to the station. Every show I wanted to hear their opinion. The word shakeup kept being brought up. I think the argument's there that this team needed a shakeup. They absolutely could have used the shakeup because of the way – the lackluster way – and I know it's 90% injuries – but the lackluster way that team meandered through the season was not exactly inspiring when you announced that one of the guys that was on that staff is going to be your next manager. That's my only concern. But in terms of Walt Weiss, the guy, listen, he's fine. Like, why not give him a shot? He's been there. The players trust him. Snit trusts him. Double A, obviously. So we'll see. I'm not, you know, raising any alarm bells, but it's a wait and see type of thing. If you brought in the bench coach from the Dodgers or you brought in somebody else, it could have been a little bit sexier of a move, but maybe it's not the right move. And then with the Falcons, listen, Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot did what they had to do in the offseason when they moved back up to get Pierce because they thought that was the best move for the 2025 Falcons. And it's starting to bear fruit. So I know it means they're not going to, even if they finish with a bad record, they're not going to have a good first-round pick next year because they don't have a first-round pick next year. So I understand your concern, but they weren't thinking about that. They were thinking about Demetrius this season. Let's see what Sam is thinking. Sam's up next.
Hey, good evening, Mr. Turtle. Just wanted to answer on the Falcons question. Yeah, as the previous caller just mentioned, lack of assets really for us to make a trade on the trade deadline. Obviously, you'd want to see if you could get a wide receiver in the free agent on the trading block, potentially some more depth, as you mentioned. But not really surprised that they didn't make a move, right? Just the lack of assets. It's just, you know, as you just mentioned as well, Falcons really put all their chips in the offseason to try to get into the playoffs. And, jury's still out on that. So we'll see if we can make a playoff push in these last couple of games.
Yeah, Sam, appreciate it. Thanks for checking in at 404-726-0929. You're right. All the chips are in the table. And, if they miss the playoffs again, that, like, there's been, like, rumblings I've been starting to hear. Well, maybe they could bring back. No. I would be, and I will be, floored and irate if this team gets another crack at the can with the current situation as is with no changes. Change will be necessary in order for this team to reach the next level if they cannot pull it together this season. And unfortunately, the rope that they have is getting shorter and shorter with each mounting loss. You're 3-5, and you haven't won a division game yet. It's not a good situation right now. Tony's up next. Tony.
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Listen, yep. I moved to Georgia about 13 years ago. I'm an avid Falcons fan now, season ticket holder now. Here's my question to everybody. I listen to 92.9 game all day long. Why do they want to change so fast? You look at the Steelers, you look at Kansas City, you look at, honestly, my team, former 49ers, you look at the Giants. None of these teams have won, besides the Kansas City Chiefs, have won a Super Bowl back-to-back-to-back-to-back, right? Why do they want to get rid of every single coach because he has a bad year, or even two bad years for that matter?
All right,
you cannot.
And I will let you finish, but let me just answer your question because it's twofold. One, what are those things that the organizations that you just named have in common? They're historically successful franchises with multiple Lombardi trophies in their offices. Okay, the Atlanta Falcons are not. So that's one part of it. And the second part of it is, yes, those teams do go through downslopes, but the Atlanta Falcons have not made the postseason in 7 going on 8 years. And that's the difference.
Okay. I get that. Again, however, I truly believe you got to give a coach time to draft his players, to put in his schemes. Like, it seems like every season, the Falcons lose one game. Oh, fire the coach. Okay, granted, Kirk Cousins, he was a wash. It was a mistake. We're sorry. At the same time, I cannot see a better coach out there that's going to be able to build in the next year or literally 6 months as they get to build a team as a Super Bowl contender. Give Raheem 3 years and then a cloud of dust, not 1.5 years.
They gave Arthur Smith 3 years.
Yeah, but Arthur Smith, but he was a little different. Like,
Sorry, I got to let you go just because I got to run. You can't come on the show, make your argument, and then cherry pick around it. No. All for one and one for all, my friend. You can't say they gave Arthur Smith 3 years and then be like, well, no, that's not, Raheem is not Arthur. No. Sorry. It doesn't work like that, man. 404-726. That was funny. 404-726-0929. Turtle, I'm going to present you my argument, but then when you counter, I'm going to cherry pick and say it's not the same. No, it's the same, folks. Losing is losing is losing is losing. 404-726-0929. Take more of your calls when we get back. Also, Joe Patrick's going to stop by. Oh, man, this team has a tough test ahead of them in Germany. We'll find out if they're up for it, according to Joe, next on 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight. Ah, yes, you know what that music means. We're going to talk to Joe Patrick in just a second on Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 7:30. Before we do, just want to remind you to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Joe Patrick, I have a litany of questions for you based off of what we saw on Sunday, what we're hopefully going to see on next Sunday in Germany, and then everything that did and did not happen today at the trade deadline. Unfortunately, I would say 80% of it is negative, but there are some positives to touch on, which we obviously will in just a couple of minutes. But let's start here. How surprised or not surprised are you that the Falcons did not make anything of note happen today at the trade deadline?
Not surprised and also not displeased. I know that there's always interest in what players can be acquired and whatnot at the trade deadline, but just considering, you know, where this team is at right now with a 3-5 record and you don't have a first round pick, so there's not really a reason to tank. And you're already missing another pick next year. I believe it's a 5th rounder. So they only have 5 picks going into next year's draft. So I did not want to see this team, just as a fan, the fan in me, because I did grow up a Falcons fan and still am a Falcons fan. I just try to do my job professionally, of course. But, you know, I kind of didn't want to see them give up any more trade capital, unless maybe they were able to get some trade capital back in some other trade that they were able to make. You know, so I'm not displeased that they didn't go out and try to add to this roster at this point in time. I think if there is any displeasure that Falcons fans have with the way that this this trade deadline turned out, it's probably around the fact that Kirk Cousins is still on the team and that you know player was never able to kind of be converted into an asset in the form of a draft pick, and maybe even some other players as well that could have potentially turned into to draft picks, whether that's an Arnold and a KD, where there was already some depth in that edge room based on what they did in the last draft, or elsewhere. So overall, not surprised, but I don't think it's actually the worst-case scenario given where this team is right now.
Any concern about them bringing in the extra offensive lineman today with, we know that both guards banged up and obviously the right tackle situation being what it is?
Yeah, no, it is a concern for me, actually. The fact that they signed Andrew Stuber, who is going on to, when you sign a player from a practice squad, he goes on to your, you know, 53-man roster, and I think one of the reasons why they went out and got Stuber in particular is probably because he was in Falcons training camp throughout 2024, so he will have scheme familiarity, which I would think means that he's, you know, not necessarily going to be starting for the team, but would need to be ready to play, and gives them their best option there at that position. Probably a tackle. I've seen him kind of be referred to as someone who has tackle guard combination, but he's 6'7", 338 is what he's listed as. To me, that is nothing but a tackle. But I would think that the reason why they went out and got someone like him, just, you know, outside of the scheme familiarity, is the fact that they have Elijah Wilkinson currently playing at right tackle, but is obviously a converted guard, or someone who truly does have that kind of versatility to be a guard tackle guy. And so he could then kind of bump back inside to where he was training for the most of portion of this training camp, if he has to, again, if Matthew Bergeron or Chris Lindstrom are going to, you know, miss this game in Germany, which is a massive loss. I mean, especially Lindstrom, obviously, is the best guard, arguably, in all the NFL, and a player who has not really missed much time that I can think of at all outside of his rookie year when he had an ankle injury way back in, what was that, 2018, I believe it was. So will be a very interesting week to hear from Raheem Morris and what the update is on those guys, and I would think that they're going to need Andrew Stuber to be ready to play on Sunday.
Joe, last week I was angry when they lost to the Dolphins the way that they did. I thought they got embarrassed, mm-hmm. and I just thought they got – it was a masterclass in showcasing how everything could go wrong in a football game. This one kind of just made me sad. I'm not going to lie, Joe. it was so deflating, and it was so Falcony, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong at the end of the game. What do you make of the overall effort of the team? Because, again, as I said at the top of the interview, it's not like there was nothing good to take away. There was a lot of good to take away.
Right, they didn't quit. I mean, I know that's, you know, that's kind of starting at the lowest hurdle to clear, but, you know, I think it's an important one to show that there is still, you know, fight in the team, that, you know, they were on the verge. I mean, I know it's easy to forget when, you know, the final score ends up 23-24, but they were on the verge of an absolute blowout in that game until Jaylen Walker pokes that ball out from Drake May's hands that James Pierce Jr. is able to scoop and take nearly the distance for a touchdown. But obviously that gets them back into that game. And then because the Patriots were then receiving after halftime. So if the Patriots were driving, I forget what the score was. They may have been up 10 at that point. If they were, or maybe 14, so they'd go up 21 potentially or 17 and then get the ball back. That would have been really, really tough. So it was good to see this team fight back. And I was getting texts. I always kind of do during Falcons games, especially when something, you know, crazy is kind of happening. And, you know, I was getting texts from friends and family. I was like saying exactly this, like, oh, this team's going to get blown out, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And they didn't, you know, they came back and made that thing close. But at the same time, Chris, it's like, you know, how many more, you know, moral victories do you actually take from a game that puts your team back to 3-5 heading into obviously this really tough game, you know, in Germany? And that's where, for me, I look back to that loss you were talking about against the Dolphins that made you angry made me angry too. Again, as someone who grew up a Falcons fan, still, I'll be honest, I want this team to win. And, like, to see them go out and lay that kind of an egg, not only for, you know, what that performance was in and of itself on the field, but the hole that it put the team in going forward, and just in terms of the standings and the win-loss record in terms of what they want to accomplish this year. So that's what's really frustrating about it, is that you put yourself in a position where you really needed to kind of come away with a win there against the Patriots, and you weren't able to get it done. Now, listen, couldn't they come back and, you know, kind of make up for that with a win this week in Germany? Yes, it's definitely possible. But again, it just feels like a very tall task against a very, very good Colts team. And just kind of put into picture, you know, what the Falcons basically need to do now in order to make the playoffs is basically they need to all of a sudden now become what the Colts have been so far this season, or the Patriots. You know, but I think both those teams now are 7-2. Falcons need to be 7-2 basically throughout the rest of their schedule. If they, that's to go 9-8, if my math is mapping correctly at this point in time. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And when you don't have even have a first round pick to look forward to, man, it's rough. Now it's all about kind of, you know, keeping track of Michael Penix and kind of hoping that he starts to get something going so that you can feel kind of positive. I don't want to say like going into next year already, because I really don't want to like think that way. But the reality is the reality, you know, like the stats are what they are, and the standings are what they are. So the Falcons just deal with it week by week.
Talking all things Falcons with our insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out Joe Patrick on Football, his podcast, breaking down all things Dirty Birds. All right, Joe, so they didn't make a move for a wide receiver. We just talked about we don't want to go into, well, let's see what we have for next year mode just yet. But obviously guys like David Sills, Casey Washington have just not worked out to this point. Mooney has just not been himself all year, injuries and otherwise. What do they do?
That's the big one. I don't want to put too much on like David Sills and Casey Washington, because like, you know, I don't know how much you could expect of those types of players. Those were players that were kind of, you know, they were like the last receivers that are, you know, making the team coming out of training camp. And even David Sills is kind of a surprise to that extent. You know, I think the biggest areas where this wide receiver room has kind of been a letdown or not what we expected is, one, what you just mentioned there with Darnell Mooney, just kind of not been able to get healthy and kind of get that cohesion with Michael Penix. And I think frankly, just kind of get himself back into the form that we know he can be based on what he showed last year. But then the other one, Chris, that like, we're just kind of not talking about is, you know, that the team cut Ray McCloud, who was a huge part of this offense last year. I mean, I saw some tweets going around kind of, you know, reflecting on his performance as a Falcon after he was cut, and just seeing some of the highlights is like, wow, man, this guy did have some really nice plays, some really important plays from this team and important moments. And they just don't have that kind of safety valve third receiver now at this point. And for that reason, I think they're going back to, you know, using more 12 personnel this year, way more than they did last year. Although that was that kind of flipped on its head in this Patriots game where they went with a lot of 11 personnel. The good news is that, like, you know, Kyle Pitts has been a lot more reliable of a receiver this year in passing option, with, you know, Michael Penix being a lot more willing to go his way and trust him a lot more in the passing scheme. But I think that that's honestly the answer, is like, just continue to try to lean on him more as a pass catcher and, you know, hope that he will be up for the task in a contract year, basically, for him. But, you know, I don't think there's going to be cavalry kind of coming to help this wide receiver room from outside what they are right now.
What do you do about trying to, I don't want to say cover up, but I guess you have to put it that way. Sounds harsh, but I know they used a lot of Ronnie Harrison last week, but again, they didn't make a move for another linebacker. So how do you make it work with J.D. Bertrand and making his game fit and be able to be a guy that can be out there on the field without getting exposed over and over again?
Yeah. And I think that they will kind of start to go to Harrison even more. I mean, if you read between the lines of what Raheem Morris said in his Monday press conference, you can kind of hear him say, like, you know, we need to kind of, I forget the exact phrasing that he used, but it was something along the lines of like, you know, we need to continue to explore these basically other ways. He wasn't saying it explicitly, like invoking J.D. Bertrand's name or anything, but he was basically saying that they need to find ways to play defense without J.D. Bertrand on the field. And, you know, it is what it is. I think that, you know, we've all kind of seen it. He's just kind of a step slow in coverage when he's in man coverage against these tight ends or running backs. I think it's, if you look at the game and what the Patriots' game plan was there, like, I think that that was kind of their game plan, was to attack him, and not just him, you know, some of these other guys like Ronnie Harrison as well, who are stepping in for Divine Diablo. But, you know, just goes to show that that's a very clear weakness and an area that I think teams are going to try to continue to exploit. And you certainly think that the Colts have the personnel to be able to do that with Tyler Warren, you know, the backfield they've got, Josh Downs, a nice little slot third or like, it's just a tough situation for the Falcons right now. But I do think Harrison will be used a lot more. It'll be interesting to see if they go to Josh Woods at all over Bertrand. Woods, who's been basically only a special teamer. I think the other thing to look out for, and it's not most likely going to happen this week because it would have already happened, but I would say that linebacker is one of those positions where you can probably find some guys that are on practice squads throughout, you know, throughout the league, who are just better athletes basically than J.D. Bertrand is at this point in time, who can just do a little bit more in that respect than he is able to. I'm not saying that he won't be out there on the field at all. They probably will try to find spots for him just so he can kind of eat up some snaps, because you do have to approach this with a bit of a kind of committee mindset. But I do think that that will start to kind of trend more in Ronnie Harrison's way. And that's good. That's good for Ronnie Harrison's development, by the way, because he's one of those converted safeties that could potentially turn into a really, really productive player in this league. But it's just, you know, he's just kind of getting his first snaps at off-ball linebacker in his career right now.
If this team loses in the way that they've been losing the last couple of weeks, no run game, excruciating, painful mistakes, they come back 3-6. I know this is a tough question to answer, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway. Is the only reason Raheem Morris would keep his job is because there's not a real replacement in the house to take over for the rest of the season?
Probably, yeah. I mean, and listen, I think Jeff Ulbrich is, like, he's got the credentials of having, you know, taken over in that role. But he also said that when that happened, you know, he needed more support in that moment, and he needed to be able to delegate some stuff out and not just, you know, be in control of the defense. And I feel like if you're the Falcons, that's the one thing that you feel like you need right now, is for Jeff Ulbrich to continue working with these defensive guys in a, you know, really intimate way. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that that's the case. If they come back from this at 3-6, the playoffs, you know, we're already, it's already kind of very much on the outside. I think last time I saw, well, actually, no, that would have been before the loss of the Patriots. Anyway,
I think the last I saw was like 11% or something.
11, okay, I was going to say 15% before that game. And so, yeah, I mean, like, you're just running out of, like, to use like the cat's nine lives, you're just running out of those at that point. So, and there's not really, like, yeah, an urgent reason to make that move other than to maybe, like, prove a point to the fan base as, like, PR. But I don't expect that to happen. I would expect them to just, you know, continue the thing out to the end, and then you make the moves you feel like are necessary at that point.
All right, before I let you go, the growth and development of Michael Penix Jr., are you seeing a track to where he's turning into the guy that we all thought he would be, or are the consistent bumps and bruises week in and week out concerning to you?
I mean, it's concerning, and I would say, I would, like, hold my hand up and say that, like, he's not been as good as I thought he would be this season so far. But I also think that we are seeing, you know, some signs of life from him, and especially in this Patriots game, the way that he was able to come back in that second half and you know, he was able to do some things. Obviously, having a target like Drake London who can go up and make a lot of those plays helps a lot. But that's part also, like, you expect those two guys to be playing together for a long time. So you expect them to kind of be, you know, a very dynamic tandem between them. And I think it's just important to remember, like, Penix is in his 10th, that was his 10th NFL start, I believe it was, that Patriots game. So he's still kind of a rookie. You know, they're obviously, he's an older one, but he's still a rookie. And so there's just going to be mistakes that are made that we've already seen to this point. You just hope to see those become less and less as the season goes on. And I think that's what I'm going to be looking for, Chris, is just, can the game be smoother in terms of just less misses, more conversions on third downs, those kinds of things. And ultimately, you would like to see some more easier kinds of throws for him. And I think that part of that is scheme, but also part of it is Michael Penix kind of being willing to throw the football in some areas of the field, you know, especially between the numbers. And we'll see if that happens as the season goes on. And the schedule does get a little bit easier to throw against, especially that game against the Jets is going to be a little bit easier than it was looking earlier today.
Well, that's certainly true. Real quick, what do you what do you make of his display running the ball over the weekend and then saying,
"How about that?
Whoa, wait a second.
Yeah.
If that's in the arsenal, buddy, why are we not doing that 7-8 times a game?"
That was like, yeah, he turned on the Jets there. I don't think anybody, myself included, knew he could have that kind of burst. That was great to see. I wouldn't want to see it 7 or 8 times a game, but I would not mind seeing a little bit of zone read, like especially if they're going to keep with this pistol. I mean, the pistol was designed with Colin Kaepernick with a mobile quarterback, and one of the reasons why is because you need the threat of the quarterback run to keep the edge from just crashing in and crashing down on the run, which I feel like is starting to happen more and more as teams are just keying in on Bijan, just not letting Bijan beat us. So I would like to see them, you know, even if he only keeps it on those zone reads, you know, once or twice per game, that can be, you know, very helpful in allowing some of these other aspects of the offense to flow a little bit more. So I would like to see that for sure.
All right, Joe, appreciate it as always. We'll chat next week, hopefully talking about a dub, and we'll make sure we check out Joe Patrick on football. Talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Joe Patrick there. Back to your calls, 404-726-0929. You just heard Joe. He's not surprised the Falcons didn't go out and make a major move today. What about you? They still have so many holes. We talked about them, wide receiver, linebacker, offensive line. They really could have used some guys, but they weren't willing to give up the few future assets that they have. How you feel about that? And then also Braves fans, Walt Weiss introduced today. Ozzie Albies is here to stay. How do you feel about the direction of those teams? We'll take your calls on the Braves and the Falcons when we get back on Chris Thomas Tonight. To get back to 500, we'll see if they can do it without Trey, who will be gone at least a couple more weeks. Just want to remind you before we get back to the phones at 404-726-0929, talking Braves and Falcons, that Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. We're talking Braves and we're talking Falcons with the trade deadline coming and going today. The Falcons doing squadouche, although they did brick in some extra offensive line help, and they got a new kicker. Zane Gonzalez will be kicking for your Atlanta Falcons in Germany this Sunday. Let's go to Clarence. Clarence, you're in the game. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, Clarence?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say three things. I'm an Atlanta fan, so I'll make this real quick. As far as the Braves here, I love the Double-A interview, but, you know, I love the hire. The hire was excellent. He's going to keep the status quo but bring more energy. The only problem I wanted them to ask Double-A is, when are you going to open up to bring struts and spend money? That's the only problem Atlanta Braves
never do.
Well,
Clarence, that's not Double-A, right? That's not Double-A. That's his but he doesn't determine how much money the Braves get to spend, right? It's his bosses.
Right, but he can give us an insight on why. We can only know through him why.
The why is because they spend as much money as they want to, right, Claire? Like, the why is because the bosses up top say, this is your budget for this season. This is what you're allowed to spend. Go make the most of it. And that's all he can do.
Yeah, that's it. And you are exactly right about that. But, you know, you see the Dodgers, although they're a quote-unquote bigger market, we know that they won it off of talent and spending money. And we know that's the last thing that we need. If we can only do that, it should be no reason why we can't win.
Clarence, here's the thing. The three highest-spending teams, the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Mets, the amount more that they spend compared to the rest of the top 10 in the league, it's like a full lap around the track. I mean, it's not even close. What the Braves spend on a payroll is top 6 or 7, but those three teams spend, you know, $150 million more. Like, you can't expect the Braves to do that.
Well, you got me there.
It's okay, man. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. It's to Clarence's point, though, yes, it's frustrating. when you see the Dodgers, Oren, the Dodgers won the World Series by asking their, let me make sure I clear my throat and say this properly, $300 million pitcher to win them the series. Sorry, we love Sale. We don't have a $300 million pitcher on this team. That's the difference, y'all. To Clarence's point, like the Braves just are not in the competitive sphere. I mean, even the Phillies, look at their payroll right now. And now that they didn't win again, it's a mess. And Wheeler's hurt. I mean, they're situated. They're going to be in it next season with the way that they're tied up financially. So the Atlanta Braves are in a position right now where they're doing a little bit of a reset, not a rebuild. Do not mistake those two things. They're resetting. And this was Alex Anthopoulos earlier today when he had breaking news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Dukes and Bell that they are retaining Ozzie Albies for next season, clearing up one of their biggest question marks.
I think you have a couple of days to decide on whether you want to pick up the club option on Ozzie. This has also been a big question. How do you view that situation? I think I want to say it's $7 million. I don't have it right in front of me. I think it's a $7 million club option.
Yeah, so here's what I got for you. So I think we have four club options.
Okay.
So if I say you only get to ask about one guy.
Okay.
And then you asked about Ozzie, but you can't follow up and ask about anybody else. Fair. I'll give you the answer.
All right, fair enough. Go ahead.
So we're going to exercise on Ozzie.
You are.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, there it is.
So, and I just, because it's, you know, we're in the habit of just waiting and so on. But look, Ozzie's a core guy. He's probably one of my favorite Braves as a human being. He's aware of that too. And, he's a core guy. And I know he was inconsistent last year and he got off to a real slow start, him and Harris did. But second half of the year, he was back to himself, July, August, September. He set the bar so high because of All-Stars, Silver Sluggers, things like that. So when he scuffles, and look, him and Harris at the All-Star break, I think we're top 10 lowest OPS in the game, which is, those guys are so talented. I would have never thought in a million years they could even be in that conversation, but they both did turn it around the second half of the year. Now the goal and the trick is going to be, how do we get these guys to get it back together for 6 months? And Ozzie's done that for a while. And I talked to him a little bit about it in the off season. I think going through this, like anything, you learn from it, but I'm excited to have him. And, he's a core guy. He's one of the leaders on this team. And we're really fortunate as an organization to have him be a part of this place.
So that was breaking news here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We also got the news today that Haesung Kim is going to opt out. So now we do, ironically enough, it flip-flop. Now we do know who's playing second base for the Braves next year. That'll be Ozzie. But we don't know now who's playing shortstop. So that is a very interesting situation that developed today. So are they going to offer Kim a big deal? I saw a proposed contract would be in the range of somewhere around 3 years, $50 million. I saw that from one of the MLB insiders today. They were putting a list together of potential free agent deals, and that was what they had for Kim. So I don't know. I mean, to Clarence's point again, this team is in a very peculiar situation because they have a need for a couple of big ticket items that, to his point, they may not be able to spend because they're going to get the list. Double A is going to get the list, as he does every year. It's going to be, okay, how much money can we spend this offseason? This is where our payroll sits now. This is what it'll be if we move around these guys, and this is what it'll be if we bring in these free agents or make trades. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. Braves fans, Falcons fans, taking your calls. We have about 15 minutes, so if you want to jump on, I'll take your calls. Great stuff in the first hour from everybody who called in as well. We'll also let you hear from Walt Weiss. I've been meaning to get to this audio for the last almost 90 minutes, but of course, as we often do on Chris Thomas Tonight, we get involved in a heavy and emotional conversation on the phones, and that, of course, takes precedence. So a lot to do and just a little bit of time to do it. 15 minutes left with you. We'll hear from Walt Weiss. We'll take more of your calls, and we hand things over to Hawks pregame. It is Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle with you until 7:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you until 7:30. Got a couple of extra minutes here. So let's hear from the Braves' new manager, Walt Weiss. He did speak today, had a lengthy press conference with AA, Alex Anthopoulos. And listen, again, as I said to start the show, I think it's a fine hire. I don't have an issue with it. I just think that based on some of the things we saw last year, there was an argument to be made about just shaking things up a little bit, just reinvigorating the culture and the standard and everything else. And they decided that the best way to do that was to keep it in-house. And that is Braves lore and Braves tradition. But I guess they're just, if things don't start off well, maybe there'll be a little bit of what could have been revisionist history, but we won't know until the games are played. So let's hear from the Braves manager. He says that winning comes from players and that the players trust in him.
The winning has to be a byproduct of the relationships you establish, the trust that you have with your players. You know, when it comes to players and as it relates to coaches and managers, they typically ask themselves three questions. You know, does he care about me? Can I trust him? And can he make me better? And, you know, I feel like I've checked those three boxes already here over my last 8 years.
And that's going to be key, right? Oren, we heard he has a close relationship with Ronnie. So that's going to be really important for Ronald Acuna Jr. to reestablish himself as, you know, one of the best players in baseball, having a very up and down type season, injuries and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if all of that's already established, then you are ahead of the curve in that regard. And another way to be ahead of the curve is to embrace analytics. And he says, listen, very sternly, that if you don't embrace the modern age in baseball, well, this is what you are.
Look, I've evolved with the game. I think if you don't, you're a fool. So, you know, my philosophy is why would anybody, especially in a position of leadership, turn their back on information? And Alex has done a great job, and his team has done a great job of blending, you know, the wisdom that comes from being in uniform for a number of years and the information that's available to us today and the technology that's available.
And I think that's really important because, again, this is what modern baseball is. You know who the top analytically driven teams in the sport are? The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Blue Jays. Oh, teams that were in the World Series the last couple of years. What do they have in common? The Phillies, those are all heavily analytic teams. And in order for you to make the most of your situation, you need to embrace modern baseball. And he said, I thought that was funny when I heard it this morning when I was chopping up the audio. I was like, oh, so you're a fool if you don't embrace modern analytics. That's funny. He also admitted, yeah, man, we had some tough times out there in Colorado, my first stint as a manager, but I've grown.
From my first job in Colorado, I've learned a lot. The game has changed. You know, I'm sure I've changed and hopefully wiser. But, you know, and I think we need to appreciate and respect what's gone on here the last 8 years on Snit's watch. And we need to maintain some perspective because I believe that, you know, outside of any team called the Dodgers, every team in baseball is signing up for our last 8 years. Matter of fact, they're tearing a hole in the paper, signing up for it.
I think he's right for the most part. I mean, listen, has this team underachieved? Yeah. But when you dig down deep and peel back the layers of the onion as to why, it's mostly been injuries. This team has not had a fully healthy season in quite some time. And if they're able to rally the troops and get everybody back, we know Ozzie's going to be back. We'll see about Raisel Iglesias. We'll see about some of the others. We know Haesung Kim opted out of his deal today, so he is now a free agent. And we'll see if this squad comes back healthy and whole, what their potential could be. But learning from lean times in Colorado and applying that after more lean times this season with the Braves could be exactly what this team needs. We'll have to wait and see, as with everything else. He did also thank Snit and Bobby Cox for getting him involved in the modern-day Braves.
I want to say thank you to Snit. I mean, without Snit, I wouldn't be here. You know, Snit and Bobby Cox brought me back into a Braves uniform 8 years ago. And I love these last 8 years working for Snit. I would have happily done it for another 10 years. If Snit went another 10 years, I'd have happily done it.
And that's the type of consistency within the organization that I think played a big part in his hire. We'll let you hear about that exact thing coming up in just a second. But before that, he did say he understands the history of the organization and just how important that is. And I did think this hit the right message.
Well, obviously, coach for 8 years. I understand the wide-reaching fan base, you know, the history of this brand and how important it is to a lot of people, and how many people have worked really hard to make this brand really one of the envies of the sports world. When you consider, like I said, our far-reaching fan base goes coast to coast. This venue we play in, the history here, the success, the Hall of Famers, and ultimately the people.
Yeah, and listen, it's not a small deal to be named the manager of the Atlanta Braves. It is one of the most storied franchises in all of baseball. And he is absolutely right about that. And you could tell he's taking it seriously. He's 61 years old. If he has a good run here, he can manage for a decade. There's no reason why not. If he, you know, if he's healthy and able and willing and things go the way that they've been continuing to trend, hopefully he has a nice almost decade-long run just like Snit did. And one more before we get out of here. This is what I was alluding to, that the ultimate reason he is now the manager of the Atlanta Braves, familiarity and team concept won the day.
It's been an interesting process. You know, I think I'm very excited. Once Snit stepped away and I became a part of this, it was something I got really excited about. So, you know, my history here, my last 8 years, I think, you know, I'm hoping it'll be a seamless transition here because of the relationships, not only with the players, but the front office. You know, there's the support staff. There's respect and trust that flows up and down the chain of command. And so I think, you know, for that reason, we can hit the ground running.
I hope so. That's what this organization is banking on, that this is going to be a smooth transition from Snit to Walt, and that basically a well-oiled machine that just had a hitch in the giddy up that needed some fixing is able to get back on track and is able to keep the train on the tracks and rolling towards being one of the most consistent franchises in all of baseball. Perennial playoff contender, a team that, Orin, is funny, we forget. Going into last season, the Braves had the second highest World Series odds of any team. Oh, what a year makes, huh? I mean, it's crazy. Literally, looking back a calendar year ago, the Braves entered the offseason with the second highest odds to win the World Series. So they're not far off. And hopefully this move of bringing in Walt Weiss, a veteran, guys has rings on his finger, and he's a champion, and he's a player, and he's a coach, and he's been a baseball lifer. That formula has worked before with Bobby and with Snit, and hopefully it just continues with Walt Weiss. All right, appreciate everybody who called in on the Falcons and the Braves. Got the full four for you tomorrow, so plenty more time to take your calls. We'll start to look ahead to this Germany game and just how important it is. We don't like to be hyperbolic, but this one kind of feels like a must-win if you want to have any chance at making the playoffs this season and break the 7-year drought. Appreciate Orin. Appreciate everybody else. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow on 90-9 The Game. Let's go, Hawks.